Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, hour number two, coming to you live from the Teak and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way. Provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Friday around the country. We got two more hours here. A lot of stuff to stuff into it before we take off for the Memorial Day holiday. Many of you already in your cars, wherever you go, and drive safely. Get there when you get there. Keep us on. We'll have a little fun. Get you set up with the weekend and sports, obviously.
If you're listening on Sirius 206 and you happen to be in New York City, leave now so that me and BT don't have traffic going home tonight.
That's true. Boy, the Holland Tunnel's a pain in the ass.
Lord.
I mean, we live so close in terms of like relative proximity where our homes are to our station.
Less than 40 miles.
Oh, well, me significantly less. You're around 30-something. I'm like 19.
Yeah, I'm like 38. You're like 19.
It takes me an hour and 25 minutes
to
get
home. Because it takes you 45 minutes to go three blocks out of the tunnel.
Yeah, I just want people to envision this for a moment.
It's literally three blocks.
That's exactly what it is. Now, I've got to go get my car at the garage, right? And which is three blocks from here. So I send a little text message right around 5:30 so that the car is waiting for me, okay?
So in your car, you're actually six blocks from the tunnel.
One, two, three, four. Yep, I got to go. Exactly. So I'm about six blocks away. But I get in my car because our show ends at 5:58.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe use the bathroom, maybe not. Take off the makeup, bounce out, Teak, Mike, see you tomorrow. Boom, out. At the garage in 4 minutes because I walk fast. I got Johnny Longlegs over here. I'm walking fast. And by the time I get in my car, it's usually 6:06, 6:07. Six blocks away, as Teak said, is the Holland Tunnel. I don't get out of the Holland Tunnel till like, it seems like it's like 6:49.
Exactly.
6:47, a rough night, 6:51. Oh, come on.
I know it. It's frustrating.
Come on.
It's very frustrating.
It really is.
So leave early is what we're saying.
But on the flip side, there's nothing like Manhattan when no one's around.
I agree.
It's the one thing I miss about living in Manhattan.
I 100%
agree. When people would go away.
Like right after the holidays and it just, all the tourists are gone.
Yeah,
The tree is down.
4th of July, Memorial, Labor, people go away and you happen to like remain on the island for that weekend.
I used to live in the city.
Yeah, so did I.
On the Upper East Side.
Oh, yeah.
It really was quiet on the Upper East Side.
Yeah, it's a little bit too quiet.
Well, it's because everybody had a summer home on the Upper East Side.
Everybody's got the big money on the East Side. And the West Side, too.
We didn't have a summer home, so we just stayed.
I think he had nine homes. He had a summer home on top of the... He had a Manhattan penthouse, and he was actually so wealthy when he was with the Giants, he built the summer home
on top of
the penthouse.
Nice.
That it felt like it was a different country. Very interesting ambiance.
Not quite.
Okay, you ready for Inbounds, Outbounds?
I am.
Here we go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Uh-oh, my hamstring. Not good. Nick Bosa, let's get to this.
Come on, man.
I mean, those soft tissue things are
serious.
A little problematic here. Great players, but always a little bit banged up. We know Nick Bosa's story, obviously second overall this year's draft, despite playing just three games for the Buckeyes a year after suffering an injury. Tuesday, Bosa left the 49ers practice with a grade one hamstring strain, and he's going to be out until training camp. Nick's older brother, Joey, now that's a long time.
It is.
Has an injury history as well, missing four games in 2016, nine a year ago. Inbounds, out of bounds here, Teak. The 49ers should play it safe with Bosa this year and give him plenty of rest.
I'm going to say out of bounds. They're paying this guy a lot of money to be out there and contribute. They got to teach him
out of bounds.
They got to teach him how to be a professional. And I've always said this, BT. A lot of young kids come into the league. They're excited to be there. He's not one of those. I think he wants to be great. He's got a family history, and it goes back like a couple generations of being NFL players.
Yep.
Then you get a couple generations past that, and you got like mobsters, but whatever.
What?
Yeah, right.
Is that proven?
Yeah, his great grandfather.
Oh, that's right. His great grandfather.
Great great grandfather. I can't remember what it was. But, anyways, they don't realize that part of your job is to be available and learn how to be available. So I don't think they should play it safe and use kid gloves on him.
Mm-hmm.
They got to teach him how to be healthy because I think it's a big part of his career. if he's not. So out of bounds.
Stop. Like, that's the dumbest answer you've ever had for any inbounds, out of bounds question in the history of our show. I'm surprised that he would say that.
I hate rookies because they don't stay healthy.
I actually was going to chastise Santer for a dumb question. Like, that's how dumb I think this is. The Niners, just listen to the words. The 49ers should play it safe with Bosa and give him plenty of rest.
Give him plenty of rest.
They should grind him down to a nub and compromise the rest of his career. BT, of course you got to give him rest.
You know, I very rarely pull the, well, you didn't play card.
Right? And you don't do it.
And I'm not pulling it right now.
But?
But what I'm telling you is that there is a culture that still exists. These grizzled old ass like coaches and mentalities that talk about calluses, right? Callus it up, man.
Yep.
Right? I'm not giving you plenty of rest. I'm not taking easy on you. I want you tough. I'm callusing you up. Just like if you were lifting or picking up rocks. You should know this because you did roofs in the summer.
I did, yeah,
like
back in the day.
Without your shirt on.
I had a good time. I had a good time.
But callus him up. He's got to get calloused, man. If you don't and I'm not talking like actually callous.
I got
like,
you.
Get tough.
Yeah.
Right? You can't take it easy on him. That's a good question, Samter, because most people would say inbounds.
It's a lazy question. It means get me to Memorial, get me to the barbecue kind of a question. Listen, you don't play that card, which I really appreciate. Because you know, some athletes, when they play the card, the guy that didn't play, what am I going to say?
Yeah, you're right.
At that point, the conversation is over.
Yeah,
so I love that
well,
you don't do
you
that.
You could very well say you never played baseball, but you taught me.
I wouldn't do that. I didn't play pro baseball either.
But
what
you played baseball.
Yeah, whatever, who cares? So anyway.
You taught my son how to recognize whether or not the guy was going home or not. That's a big deal for a base runner.
And he's for a fast base runner.
Right.
The back heel, just focus on the back heel, the rubber. There's a relationship there.
I felt really smart when I told him.
Did you give me credit?
Of course I did.
Say
that's Uncle BT, man.
But you cannot chase down a quarterback, which is why they didn't get him to stop the run. They got him to destroy quarterbacks.
Yes.
How do you destroy quarterbacks if you can't catch them? If you're limping around, you gotta. I mean, inbounds.
You
let
have your
get
opinion.
Healthy.
I have mine.
Are you in or are you out?
I played.
You know who used to do that to me?
Eric Davis did it
one time when I was on the phone with Deion Sanders when we got into the argument. Me and Deion,
Deion would remember this,
but they're both playing the card. I'm like, dude, you're my partner. I love ED, but you're both playing that. You didn't play. I can't win this. All right. So the All-NBA teams were announced yesterday with a couple of interesting notes, including LeBron not making the first time for the first team for the first time since 07. While Steph made the first team, KD put on team number two, second team. Also of note, fellow Splash brother Clay being left off all three teams for the third straight season as Blake Griffin and Kemba Walker rounded out the list, and Clay wasn't too happy.
You nearly made the All-NBA team, which would have elevated your potential.
Oh, I did? They already came out?
Yeah.
I mean, that's cool and all, but, like, I respect those guys, but holy, when you go to five straight, I mean, it takes more than just a couple of NBA guys. It's like all-time team, but... whatever. I'd rather win a championship than be 13 on NBA. So it is what it is. You know, I can't control it. Do I think there's that many guards better than me in the league? No, but that's the reason why we're still playing.
He is old school. He is classy. He just lost $30 million right there. You know he's pissed, but he's still... he's a good soldier, man. All right, inbounds, outbounds. Klay Thompson is unfairly overlooked because of the talent that he plays with.
I'm going to say out of bounds, BT, because this is really... we talked about this a bit yesterday with KD. It's a numbers game type thing. Because he's a guard, technically a guard, he's competing with a bunch of guards in a guard league, like Russell Westbrook and Kemba. Let's face it, Kemba had a ridiculously good season this year. Not that I think he's more valuable than Klay, because Klay is more two-way than he is. Klay made... didn't Klay make second or first or second team all-defensive? I think he did. But not all NBA. So because of the guard dominant league that it is, Klay gets put up against guys at his position that he's just not going to, he's going to get overlooked. So I'm saying out of bounds, but it's not because of the talent he plays with. It's because of the amount of the depth of guards in this league.
Guards, there's some players. I mean, it's tough. This was a tough one because I do believe, you know, in the context of history, most recent history. Maybe this changes as we get a little deeper, you know, 15, 20 years down the road. He's appreciated more as we begin to romanticize
the run.
I think he will be. I do. I think that'll happen. even somebody like Vinny Johnson, like in real time, I'm sure, he's better than Vinny.
Yeah.
But like the microwave wasn't getting the love that he gets now. Like you throw it, you like Isaiah Laimbeer, Vinny Johnson. Like you make sure he gets mentioned. Clay's going to get plenty of love because he's great and he's going to be a Hall of Famer. My answer is out of bounds. I don't believe he's overlooked because of the talent he plays with. I don't believe that he deserved it this year. I got to be honest. Listen, Kemba Walker. Now, I would not pay him. Forget about the Supermax. I wouldn't give him $190 million for 4 years. I wouldn't do it. He's elevated the Hornets to zip as the franchise player.
And BT and I talked about this yesterday. Because he made this team,
correct,
he's eligible for the Supermax.
Yes. And by the way, I have a fundamental issue with journalists depending upon deciding if somebody gets an extra $30 million.
That should be that way. That's a great point.
That's just fundamentally wrong. But as much as I don't believe Kemba is a superstar, Kemba Walker was great this season. Kemba deserved that honor, okay? Mm-hmm. Kawhi's Kawhi. Lillard was phenomenal. Harden, if he doesn't win the MVP, it's going to be Giannis. Steph is Steph. The one I could quibble with is Russ because he didn't shoot well this year.
Yeah, but he averaged another triple-double. I mean, it's like
that's what I was going to say, the triple-doubles. Yeah. It's tricky. Maybe if he was a little bit more assertive, and this is not fair, but a little more vocal, a little more showy.
It is a media award.
It is. He's a hell of a player. And I think people who know the NBA give Clay his props, but he just got probably screwed at $30 million.
Are you in or are you out?
Okay, the Twins, you might not recognize this. The Twins are just absolutely pounding the baseball.
Dude, crushing it.
I mean, I didn't realize that. I knew that they were on a great pace. This is ridiculous. So they were not that good a year ago, under 500 by about five or six games here, but they really revamped the
lot. Paul Molitor's job.
Now, Molitor's gone, as we know. And I think that the Twins are kind of here to stay. Remember, I picked them as a wild card team. I did think the Indians would win the Central, but, I mean, maybe the Twins are going to actually win it. And if they do, it's going to be by way of the home run. 8 last night, the second time they've done that this season. That's 16 home runs in 2 games.
Which has only happened twice in the history of Major League Baseball. The Rangers back in, I forget what year it was, did it as well.
Look at you.
Yeah, you know, you got me loving baseball,
BT. Look at
you.
Right? That was impressive.
That is 8 home runs in a game. It's only happened twice in a season. It's only happened twice in the history of Major League Baseball.
Proud papa right here. My little newborn baseball fan is coming along nicely.
I got you.
Nice, nice job. They are on pace for 324 home runs. Actually, you're a toddler. You're no longer a newborn. You're way past that. I'm not a newborn for sure. You've been putting in your time with baseball since 6 years ago. You've worked hard to learn it, and you have. They're on pace for almost 350.
That's nuts.
Which would shatter the record by the Yankees a year ago. So, inbounds, out of bounds. The Twins, never been done before, will hit over 300 home runs this season.
I'm going to say inbounds of this, BT, because let's not forget, Nelson Cruz, he's an old man, but he still mashes the ball.
Yeah.
He's on the IL right now, and Miguel Sano has only played 6 games this season.
Recently got back.
He just came back. He's already got 4 home runs.
Yep.
I mean, this record's going to fly out of the building because this is how they're winning. They finally have caught on to what wins in Major League Baseball these days. We had this conversation with David Cone 2 days ago. You got to hit home runs. And even if it feels like you're sacrificing on average, the return or the reward for knocking it out of the ballpark is too great to not try to do it.
Okay. In the regular season,
season.
I would add.
Because you challenged him on that.
I did. You know, and, you know, it's just we saw Giancarlo Stanton go through this a year ago for the Yankees, but it's been so many others. Like, you look at the Red Sox. I mean, David Ortiz knew when he had to make contact. And sometimes you've just got to put the ball in play, get a sack fly, move a runner over, and teams that are overly reliant on the home run during the regular season historically go out with a bit of a whimper in the postseason when you face better pitching that doesn't relent and just really they've got 3 or 4 pitches that are top shelf stuff. My answer is out of bounds though. Now, to be fair,
you just want your Yankees to hang on.
Our
Yankees to hang on.
This does not. The Yankees are completely independent of this answer. 4 players right now for the Twins are over double figures.
Yeah.
So you mentioned a couple of guys who just came back who aren't there yet.
Yep.
And Polanco's got 9. 2 others have 7. Their catcher has 8 or 9.
Yep.
A lot of those names just don't have the history behind it.
Not sustainable.
Yeah. I mean, like, if this was the Oakland A's, I won't even go Yankees. Say if this was the A's with Canseco and McGuire and even Terry Steinbeck, the catcher can mash a little bit. And, you know, every position, even the lean spots, we're going to give you, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12. I'd say, okay, maybe.
Yeah.
But they have a lot of guys who I think right now are overachieving strongly on the long ball. And usually over the course of 162, that generally evens out.
New skip. New staff, maybe a new hitting coach, saying launch angle, swing for the fence.
I don't know that you can implement. It's fair. I'm happy that you bring that up. I don't know that you can implement that in spring training, and it could automatically work like that. I don't believe that.
Yeah.
That practice, that implementation would work so quickly. I think that's more of a minor league thing as you work your way up, the time you get there.
Either way, the Twins are going to be fun to watch.
Oh, they're mashing. Great ballpark. We were just out there for the final four. City's popping.
Craig Kimbrell. They don't have a defined closer right now.
I don't think he's going to go there. I don't. By the way, their A's, Berrios, is pretty. They're a good team. They're a very good team.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Well, you mentioned Craig Kimbrell. Obviously, Dallas Keuchel's out there as well. Nothing's going to happen until the draft, so they can avoid compensatory picks. But where will those two names wind up? Some early baseball trends here, just about 25% of the way done with the season. We'll join Jim Duquette's going to hop on coming up next, former Major League General Manager, to talk a little baseball leading into Memorial Day, which is historically the symbolic start of the baseball season where you really start to look at the standings and get a sense of what's what. So Jim Duquette's coming up next on Tiki and Tierney. Looking forward to it.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, going to stick with a little baseball here. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Just go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance here on this Friday around the country. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. And, of course, simulcast nationally every day, Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 Eastern, noon to 3 Pacific on CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM 206 on Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, 1-855-212-4227. All right, now that you know how to get us, let's get with our guy, former GM in the bigs, of course, Jim Duquette, does a lot of TV. You hear him on the radio, he's all over it. And we got to take the temperature of the sport. It's almost Memorial Day, so we have to do that. Jim, welcome back, buddy. How you been?
Hey, what's going on, Brandon? How are you, Tiki? What's going on?
Well, you're very
good,
well.
Man.
Look, we'll start with your old club, the Orioles, just to get it out of the way. I mean, they've been bad, man, really bad. But I've been reading a couple articles about some of the players there, like Andrew Kashner, and you remember last year with Adam Jones. Like some of these vets, they don't want to leave there, which is interesting to me. What's going on ultimately with the Orioles?
Yeah, they love Baltimore so much they don't want to be traded. I don't, you know, that part of it with Adam, you know, I think you can respect, you know, Tiki. He had that no trade clause, right?
Yeah.
And even though that, you know, he could control where he wanted to go. He didn't want, you know, his family settled there. He didn't want to go somewhere that he didn't want to. There was only one team that really that wanted Adam. It was Philly. Yeah, on the surface, you go, why wouldn't you take that, you know, for a postseason run? But there's a lot more factors to it, and some of them we didn't know personally. So I always kind of give those veteran guys a pass in that sense. Like, you know, we just don't know what's going on behind the scenes, and there was a specific reason why he didn't want to go there. Kashner, I can't quite understand, you know, because he's going to be playing for his next job, and he hasn't been established. He doesn't have a no trade. He said he'd retire. And I don't know. I don't think, by the way, he's that good of a pitcher that teams are going to be
clamoring
to trade for him, right? So. But I do think, you know, the Orioles are just – it's a rebuild. They were pretty clear. They were mixed messages last year. They're pretty clear this year it's rebuild. So Kashner, whoever else is, you know, that has any value, they're going to try to move him.
Yeah, and he's got a vesting option too, so teams aren't really interested in picking that up if he should hit it.
Right.
A broader picture here, and this is kind of you know, just a fan-based picture. Has there been some attrition from the Nationals moving in there? Because you started to see a little bit. Can you give us details on what's happening in the D.C. Beltway area?
So, there has been, you know, if you guys are familiar with it, I mean, there used to be, when I was working there, it was probably, they felt 300,000 to 400,000 fans came from the Southern Maryland, Northern Virginia, D.C. area to Orioles games.
Yeah.
And as soon as they allowed the Nationals to come in, right around, I guess it was 05, 04, yeah, I think it was 05, the the fan base obviously started matriculating to the D.C. area and watched the Nationals. It's a lot easier drive. There's not as much traffic. I mean, there's a lot of traffic, but not as much as driving up to Baltimore. So it's cut into their attendance. And then, of course, with all of the stuff that was going on in the downtown area in Baltimore and kind of the feeling that it was unsafe, there's a lot of fans that have kind of said, you know what, I'm going to watch this on TV and not make the trek downtown. And so their attendance has really, really taken a hit. They still have some pretty good numbers on the regional sports network, but it's a tough call. It really is a tough spot there. And you know, there's rumors about them potentially moving. I think it would be hard for Major League Baseball to let them move personally, but that's a whole different topic, obviously.
Wow. I mean, you always hear about where's the next city. Does Charlotte get a team? Does Mexico get a team? You know, this comes up. Does Montreal get a team?
Vegas, of course.
I know that this is kicking it down the road, but is there a leader in the clubhouse if they actually do relocate? Do you have a sense of where that might be?
There really is, and it was more of a thing that I had heard recently that I don't think, like, part of this is, you know, you'd have to get Major League Baseball approval. I think you guys know this, that they are not in great standing with Major League Baseball. They've had this longstanding lawsuit with the Nationals about the TV revenues that they're owed. So, and they've been they have a setup where, you know, if you want to dispute in arbitrate, you got to do it through the commissioner's office, through MLB. Well, the Orioles decided not to do that. They wanted to litigate the courts. Like, they're a very litigious organization. Their owner, Peter Angelos, is one of the wealthiest and best lawyers in the world. So they were going to take that thing head on. And so, Major League Baseball, they're not all that happy about the Orioles right now. So I don't think they're going to get a lot of support to move.
I got you. All right, so we're talking to Jim Duquette, former Major League Baseball GM, worked for the Mets, worked for the Orioles, obviously, as well, radio, TV, and he's with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, you know, Jim, it's easy, and I understand why most people do this. It's easy to latch on and say, man, Bryce Harper, he's not hitting well. You know, he's doing this. He's hitting .235. He's got a WAR that's less than one. To me, that's not even the biggest story. I need you to tell me what in the world has happened to Jose Ramirez, because he finished the season incredibly poorly a year ago. Now he's hitting .198. What happened to this guy?
I know. The power is gone.
Doesn't do anything.
It is one of the great mysteries, I think, because, you know, if you go back when he was, you know, just kind of coming up, they thought of him highly, you know, they gave him a contract, but it wasn't a huge contract. Mm-hmm. And then, man, he was in the MVP talk last year, right?
Yes, sir.
Final three or four. But like you said, he tailed off towards the end. I'm pretty sure he had like a wrist issue towards the end too that really wasn't talked about a lot, but he was dealing with some health issues. And then that unfortunately has bled into this year. And anytime I've asked about what is going on with Ramirez, I don't get any real specific answers other than, you know, he's working on some mechanical adjustments. And, man, you don't usually see this talented of a player struggle this long. Through 40, whatever it is, 44 games. It has been a huge, huge struggle. And it's a big problem for the Indians if he doesn't figure it out. I still feel like he will figure it out, but man, oh man, it has been I don't have a specific answer other than what I get back from their GM, which is he got into some bad habits last year mechanically and they're trying to work through and fix them.
Yeah. Okay. Just to jump back to the beginning of BT's question, Bryce Harper had an atypical second or third month last year, but then he kind of corrected itself a little bit. But he's been struggling, as BT mentioned. Is this more the norm now for him, or should we expect to see him come out of this?
That's a good question. He has a lot of I would say you look at his swing, it's pretty violent. Swing with a lot of like moving parts. It's not a, you know, it's a multi-dimensional type of swing, right? It's not real. Like if you look at Anthony Rendon, he's the opposite of Harper, right? Very quiet, very not a lot of movement. And it works. Harper's got all this movement to his swing. He's working on quieting it down a little bit. He does help you in other ways, but you know, obviously the batting average is down. I think he's got like a 36% on base, so that's where you've seen that, and you see some home runs, but it's been very, very streaky. Too much on the other side of it. I think I was talking to somebody with the Phillies yesterday about this. He has at least settled in mentally. You know, sometimes you see guys sign a big contract, they try to do too much, and they're trying to prove themselves, and they're trying to figure out in the clubhouse if they're the leader, or they're the outspoken guy, whatever it is. Like, this is the best he has been in terms of being comfortable in a spot. It so far hasn't translated into the type of numbers that we expect. I still think he'll get to those numbers at the end of the year. That's just the way he's been as a player.
But he's not what he was supposed to be when he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, built to be the next Mickey Mantle. He's just not that guy.
That's true. That is absolutely true. He's not, you know, the one of the top, you know, five or so players in the game, which is that's the way he's. I mean, listen, he's paid that way. He's paid as the number one, well, number two highest paid player right now. He's not that type of player. The Phillies, I thought, didn't have to move, you know, to this number that they signed him for. But, you know, once the owner got involved with Scott Boras, his agent, and, you know, all bets are off. And he seems to put a spell over some of these owners. So that, I thought they really grossly overpaid him, you know, for where he was. I mean, he wasn't going to sit out into the season like these other guys were.
No.
You know? So I was surprised at the length and the dollar amount that he got.
I still think, and I wanted to ask you something on Keuchel and Kimbrel, but I still think that by – you know, at some point within the 13 years on the deal, when he's going to catch a groove and he's going to get on fire in that ballpark, which is the Wiffle Ball Stadium, and I think he's going to flirt with 60 bombs at some point. Not this year. He's going to have a hot April to do it, but he'll get his numbers. But the average just, this seems to be who he is average-wise. So, okay.
Yeah.
Keuchel, I'm going to give you three names. Keuchel, Kimbrel, obviously the compensatory pick. That's, you know, that is a deterrent for a lot of teams, so that'll get resolved after the draft. And Madison Bumgarner, where's Keuchel going to be? Where's Kimbrel going to be? Where's Mad Bum pitching down the stretch?
Boy, I look at Kimbrel, and I think that of the teams that he wants to pitch for and the teams that need closers, and you can look in the National League East, as you guys have seen, and you know pretty much every team could use bullpen help of some kind. I think that the Braves are the ones that stand out. He wants to pitch there. They need a closer. They don't want to give up a draft pick. Like, they have the money. Like, I feel like that's like destined to happen.
Okay.
So I would not be surprised if he ends up there. I would think, but for me, there was interest in Keuchel and still going back to Houston, potentially in Milwaukee. I think one of those two are the destination spot. Keuchel back to Houston seems to make a lot of sense. It allows him a little bit of an out. You know, from the ego side of things, like, hey, I went back to my former team. I took a lot less money because I'm going to play for a winner. Like, and then he goes back out on the market. That would be my best guess there. And then
Mad Bum.
And then Mad Bum, I'll tell you what, the Phillies seem like they're the team. They need help in their rotation, right? The last, you know, let's say the fourth and fifth spot, a little bit of a question for me. They've been on Mad Bum talking to the Giants since the season started, I think. So, and they have the aggressiveness. Obviously, their owner showed that financially. I just think that everything's lined up. I would not be surprised if the Phillies make a big run and get Mad Bum.
Wow. Okay. Jim Duquette dropping some little bombs here on the show. Good stuff. Former GM, TV, radio, and just one of the real informed baseball guys out there. And a good dude, too. Jim, appreciate it. Happy
right,
Memorial
guys.
Day, buddy.
Yeah,
have a great weekend.
Too. Enjoy the weekend, guys. See you.
Be good, Jim.
No doubt. We will.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff. A couple things to chew on there.
So much interesting baseball to talk about. The American League is so compelling with the Yankees doing what they're doing without anybody. The Minnesota Twins, we briefly hit, have the best record in baseball. Their run differential is also number one in baseball, tied with the Astros.
The Twins?
Plus 90.
The Twins?
Yes.
Wow.
Plus 90.
I mean, you get to almost plus 100 before June 1st.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, you're knocking the stuffing out of people.
You're
just obliterating people. That's a big number. Okay. Coming up next, after Rack's update, a little football at the 40s. We know the Browns roster's loaded. Is it about to get even more loaded? An All-Pro, formerly. Taking a visit in, saying I might want to join this team. We'll tell you who it is and if it's going to happen after Rack's update right now. Here's Rich.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Ricky Fowler, Jordan Spieth, John Rahm lead the charge as Justin Rose defends his title. It's the Charles Schwab Challenge this weekend down in Fort Worth, Dallas, right on the outskirts there. Great event, Memorial. Beautiful course, and that is all weekend on CBS, and it's a good leaderboard. Some big names, obviously, I just mentioned a couple. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, and CBS Sports Network. So I'm curious because, you know, we're going to get to football at the 40s here, but Teague, I would like you to give me quickly, just to punctuate the baseball conversation, what you believe to, you don't have to expound. I mean, you can if you will. I'm not even going to do mine. I'm just curious. Maybe I'll do mine later in the show.
Yep.
What do you believe is the most interesting storyline so far in the baseball season? Because we ran through a bunch in a previous segment. That's the one that really jumps off the page.
Well, I mean, I'm a little bit biased because we're local here, but what the Yankees are doing is it's miraculous. It's unbelievable.
I don't think that's an overly biased view. That is a That's a fair representation. And I mean, I don't know if everybody would say that, but how the Yankees are winning, I have no idea.
There was a few weeks, BT, it was every day. Yep. There was somebody on the IL.
Mm-hmm.
Now CeCe's on the IL with the knee issue, which has been chronic for him over the years.
Yeah.
But I have no doubt that they're going to figure it out.
Oh, yeah. No.
It's just the way the season's going for them. So
that
one jumps out for me a ton. And obviously the Twins, but we've talked about them a lot today with their home runs at 98 already on pace for 340 or something, whatever the number is. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
New skip, but there's a new energy out in Minnesota. And that's a great
about
one. Who do we have on? At the
we had on their GM.
Yeah.
Young man who went to Dartmouth, right? Yep. And then he started his career. He started going to the Cape Cod League. Mike, you booked him. I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
What was his name? Great interview.
Great interview.
Great interview. Great guy. Great baseball mind. If you say his name, I'll know it. Oh, man. That was at the Final Four. He came over. Yeah. He came over from the office and hung out with us.
Fulvey. Yeah.
Yes. Fulvey. There you go. He's doing a good job.
He really is.
I mean, you know, and that's the kind of market where, you know, you can't afford to make a big money mistake.
Mm-mm.
Not that easy to swallow.
Nope.
Okay, football at the 40s. Here we go, guys.
40-yard kick, right hash mark.
40 yards on the return.
A 40-yard touchdown.
40 yards.
You love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
Well, might have to throw in another big name on the Browns hopper in the blender, you know, and see what it cooks up here, what it whips up. Defensive tackle, Mr. McCoy, Gerald McCoy, who has been a hell of a player. Obviously, you and I hit the story the other day when he was released by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was due about $13 million, and obviously they didn't want to pay that. They instead signed Ndamukong Suh for about $9 million, but they're going to host the ex-Buck and see if they can't reel them in with the other big names they brought in.
There's so many. I mean, you look at that defensive setup right now with Sheldon Richardson, Olivier Vernon's there, Myles Garrett was already there. I mean, if you bring in Gerald McCoy, this defense in the front seven just feels stout, and it almost reminds me of what the Rams tried to do last couple of years. They bring in short-term guys, maybe it'll be a 1 or 2 year contract, but they're going to be impact and they're going to take us to the next level. The Rams we thought could win a championship. Now, I don't know if we're buying that quite yet with the Browns, but they're espousing a philosophy that's pretty exciting if you're a Browns fan.
It is. You talk about their front end. You know, I tell you, I'm thrilled he's with my team, but can you imagine Greg Williams trying to coach up all these toys?
Yeah.
Just move them around the chess table?
Yeah, I hear you.
Wow. And the front is really good. The back's not too bad either. Denzel Ward is a terrific player. Everybody kind of was like, because we were still in that, they're the Browns mode. When they took him fourth overall last year, they took Baker 1, they took him 4, Denzel Ward, the cornerback. We're like, that seems a little ambitious, but he has turned into, he had a great season.
Yep.
Although I want to play this for you. This is interesting. He suffered 2 concussions as a rookie, and he's about to really tweak his tackling technique. Check this out.
The first concussion that I had got, it wasn't really on a tackle.
Right.
It was, I kind of got my head in there on 2 guys that were coming across from me. And then I feel once you get your first concussion, you're susceptible to getting another one. It was kind of a short period of time, and I ended up getting another concussion off of going up against a tight end on the sideline. So you just got to be more conscious of how I tackle and everything. But when I'm out there on the field, I'm going to give him my all.
Yeah, and again, he wasn't good. He was borderline phenomenal, and all the advanced metrics backed that statement up. He was at 11 pass deflections, a couple of picks, played in 13 games. He was a superstar. I want to ask you this here, Teak. Because one thing I know athletes want to do is you want to play without thinking, play fast. Could this adversely impact him as he tries to maybe think his way through a new tackling technique?
Yeah, look, and Greg Williams, who was the defensive coordinator there last year, he's now with the Jets. You know, he lambasted Denzel Ward for his tackling techniques and just being reckless and realizing the importance of the next play being more important than this play, that is being available.
Yep.
When you're young and you're dumb and you think you gotta body your way to success, that's what you do. I think he'll grow and hopefully he keeps himself more available, because in 13 games, he only played 13 last year, he was amazing. He almost won Defensive Rookie of the Year. And if it had been for Darius Leonard of the Colts having such a ridiculous season, he would have been defensive.
But there were some great rookies.
Oh, there was a ton of them, right? So
wow.
I think this is great to hear. And it's also a great example for young players who think that, yeah, I'm going to be a banger, but a banger will get you knocked out of the league really quickly. Really quickly. So good for him.
Okay. No real surprise here, but Jerry Jones not exactly expecting the NFL to come down and discipline the star running back Zeke Elliott despite a little dust-up at the Las Vegas Musical Festival last weekend. Quote, I think the main thing is that I don't see anything that needs supporting, really. Mm-hmm. That's what Jones said. In terms of his status with us, it's not been impacted in any way. And frankly, I know how conscientious he's been in the offseason. That's good enough for me, so I don't see us having any consequences there. Yeah. End quote. I mean, what else is he going to say?
Pinch him for two games? He said the same thing before Zeke got suspended for the NFL for six games for that domestic violence thing. But in this case, I kind of agree with him.
I hear you.
There's not much here. The security guard who kind of just fell over because they were bodying into each other and the stanchion thing fell over. He's not pressing charges. Nothing's going to happen with this, I don't think.
Except
for the drug test. It's exactly right, BT. He should be in the program even though he's not in the program.
This, to me, is really interesting. I don't know if this comes to fruition, but just to even plant this, I'm curious what you think about this. So Mike Florio, your good buddy, Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk.
Exactly, because he puts out stuff like this.
He said, quote, I'm very skeptical about Jared Goff. I would not be surprised if he doesn't get a second contract with the Rams.
Well, at least he's now putting his name on things and not saying it's an anonymous source. Like Jared Goff has been pretty terrible in the postseason. Been really good in the regular season. Terrible in the postseason. 55% completion percentage. Only 2 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. That's over 4 games. So, I mean, he hasn't been that guy when the defenses get better.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger catalyst for success for this Rams team has been Todd Gurley, but Todd Gurley's banged up. And we don't know what his season's going to be like. I think he'll be okay, but who knows? This upcoming season is a real test, especially because he's entering his fourth year and they have to decide, am I paying him almost $23 million on that fifth-year option and negotiating a long-term deal? I hate to say it because he's been a Pro Bowler and a really good player for them. He's in a prove-it year. It's crazy to think about, but it's true.
I don't disagree. I mean, it sounds crazy, but that's a lot of money for somebody. Right. We're not sure about, numbers aside. All right, our buddy Donovan McNabb, we had D-Nab on the other day. TMZ stuck a mic in his face, and I guess they asked him about his Hall of Fame candidacy. Here's what Donovan said.
Are you a Hall of Famer?
Absolutely. And I'm not hesitating on that. I am a Hall of Famer. My numbers speak for itself. You look at it in a sense for a lot of quarterbacks. I mean, for Jim Kelly making it to the Super Bowl 4 times and not winning. I don't realize how hard it is to get to the NFC Championship and to get there 5 times.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think there, Teague? Is he a Hall of Famer?
He's got the numbers to be a Hall of Famer, and he was a guy that you hated to play against because you never knew when he was just going to figure out a way to beat you. You know what I mean? Certain players, you know what their floor and ceiling is. Donovan always found ways to bust through that ceiling and do big things, unless he was playing the Buccaneers and my brother. Sorry, I just had to say that. Is he a Hall of Famer? Probably not. He's just on the outside. But I love his game. I really did. And I appreciated it because he was such a annoying, best way to put it, adversary for all the years that we played against
him. And a dual threat. Kentucky.
At least
run,
early.
Big arm.
At least early in his career.
Yep.
That was Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
So we had David Cohn in studio the other day. Cohn's got a new book out. And one of the things I threw at David was I brought up Don Mattingly, who, as you know, is my all-time favorite player.
Yep.
And I got to tell you, I think there's a little similar. I don't know if it's the perfect comparison, but there's some similarity to Mattingly's career. If I was to try to find a football equivalent, there might be something there with Mattingly and McNabb.
Yeah.
Because when Mattingly was healthy, he was the best in the game. Now, I'm not so sure if when McNabb was younger, he was the best, but he was certainly among the best.
Yeah.
And then there was just this precipitous drop where he went from a star to like this transient, although Don didn't bounce around, but just languishing in kind of mediocreville. Kind of similar, actually.
The problem with quarterbacks, at least Donovan's era, is that you get judged against your peers. And I mean literally your peers. So like Eli and Peyton and Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, like all those guys.
Brett Favre him still.
Yeah, Brett Favre. Yep. It's like it just doesn't compare.
Right.
That's the hard part.
I got you. Third hour coming up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.